Today, we want to look at this thought. All authority is ordained of God and will be held accountable by God for every decision. All these politicians in America, some of them doing all kind of fraudulent things, they're going to answer to God for everything they've done wrong, because they're supposed to be there serving God's people. There is no government that is free from God's influence. God is the authority in this universe. Therefore, we are to be in subjection to the governing authorities. All authority is instituted by God, and He will hold them accountable. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do not do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. I've been studying the Bible my whole life, and that's about the only purpose I can see in the Bible for government is to protect the people from criminals and evil demonized people and evil demonized nations and evil insurance companies. Can you say amen? The government there is to protect us and create a safe environment so we can work and provide for ourselves. God never intended for the government to feed the people. And you will not find that anywhere in the Bible. It's the church that's supposed to help feed the people. Verse 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Their job is to bring wrath on the one who practices evil. One of our young men was murdered in this, not in this church, but he was in a part of the church because a judge turned a murderer loose. This guy had stabbed his brother to death, 22 stabs, and killed him. The judge turned this guy loose, and he came over and killed one of our boys in cold blood. And you see, when the government does stuff like that, they're totally irresponsible, and they will answer to God for that. They killed that boy. It was Alice's son. John chapter 19, verse 10, so Pilate said to him, you do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. Even the civil authority to crucify the Son of God was granted by God. You see that? I need to read it again. Jesus answered, you would have no authority, talking to Pilate. He said, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above, from my daddy. So Jesus Christ respected the authority of Pilate and submitted to his condemnation. Even the civil authority to crucify the Son of God came from God. Pilate abused his authority, however, because he knew Jesus was not guilty and he allowed him to be crucified. I know it was God's plan for him to die for us, but Pilate is still responsible for not doing his job. All authority is ordained of God and will be held accountable by God for every decision made. And I believe that applies to every authority. God establishes governments, he raises up leaders, and he takes them down. We got several, the last 2 or 3 weeks have been going down because of fraud and all kind of crazy things. Okay, sexual abuse. I think God does a pretty good job of cleaning house, don't you? 1 Samuel 16, verse 12, this is about little David. So he, Jesse, that's his dad, sent and brought him, David, in. Because Samuel showed up and said, God told me to anoint one of your sons to be king. So he went through all of Jesse's sons and he didn't find the one. He says, do you have any more sons? He said, well, I got one kid down taking care of the sheep. Well, go get him. Yeah, it's amazing who God uses. Somebody say amen. And now he was, says, so he, Jesse, sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Verse 13, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. You see, God chose this man to be his king. Probably nobody else would have. Okay. But God saw something in this young man that nobody else saw. He raised up David and anointed him to fight his battles. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. He's talking about Goliath. Goliath is out there cussing them and calling them names and threatening them, calling them cowards and everything else, or implying it. He says, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He said, I'll go take this guy down. He's probably, Rudy Faye, probably about 16, 17, 18 years old, probably more like 16 or 17. Verse 33, then Saul said to David, you are not able. And this is what the devil always tells us. You're not able. Well, God told me to do it. Well, you're not able. You're going to mess up, man. You're going to blow it. Milton came here. He had just retired from the army, and he started this company. I'm sure God, the devil told him many times, you can't do this. But look what God has done. I mean, he's one of the greatest companies in America. And what's it been, 15, 20 years? 15 years. Let me believe that God can bless you. But you've got to hear and obey God. When the devil tells you you can't, you tell him, in the name of Jesus Christ, I can. When Milton said all that things about how God used us to build this church, I mean, I was feeling about that high. I mean, I don't feel like I have any real talent built or anything, but somehow God has used us a little bit. And if God used us a little bit, he might use you a whole lot. Verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. And he said, I didn't run from that rascal. I went after him. I did it for the bear too. He said, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from its mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. So David killed Goliath. God trained David as a young man how to be a great man of faith and a great leader of his people. I'm an arbiter of truth. God has called me to speak the truth about anything and everything, including government. I am not to get involved in politics, which is campaigning for individuals. But at the same time, God has called me to preach the truth. I want to talk about George Washington for a few minutes. He was trained to be, just listen, we're coming up on our 250th anniversary in July. And there's been a lot of things told about George. It's not true. I'm a history major. I know the truth. And if I don't tell the truth, God will hold me accountable. George Washington was trained to be a great man of faith and a great leader of his people. He was a perfect gentleman. Everybody of his day said so. They honored him. They about worshiped the ground he walked on because they knew he was a godly man. He was the perfect gentleman and a great leader. The only thing anyone can say bad about him was that he owned slaves. He owned slaves because he inherited them. And people this far away from the early 1800s would have no concept. But there was laws. You couldn't even set your slaves free. There was all kind of laws that had this thing. And the slaves were property, so they were actually willed in wills to people. And you couldn't just set them free. It was a mess. I mean, thank God for Abraham Lincoln. God raised him up. Okay. But we go back into the past and we condemn people over things we know nothing of. And then when people do know the truth, they hide it. He owned slaves because he inherited them. He didn't go out and buy them. As he grew older, he was convinced that slavery was wrong. And in his will, that was about the only way he could really get it done and without really having a mess. And so in his will, he set his slaves free. But these secular humanist Marxists is always condemning America. We'll never tell you the truth. So it's up to preachers to tell the truth. And they better start getting in the pulpit and preaching the truth. And they first of all need to know what it is. And then preach it. He set his slaves free. The people who attack George Washington just want to destroy our heroes. Because they don't want you to believe this is a Christian nation. Their goal is really to demonize Christians. And if you don't think they're after you, you got another thing coming. They've even listed some of my wonderful sermons as hate speech because they don't like what the Bible says. They don't have a problem with me. They have a problem with the Bible. They want to be able to kill their unborn babies. They want to be able to take their little children and cut body parts off, trying to change them from one gender to another when biology says it's only two genders. I mean, when you start going totally against biology, something's wrong with your head. George Washington, at the age of 20, I just want to show you how God raised this guy up. It's unbelievable. And this stuff used to be in our history books, but the secular humanist Marxists, after the Humanist Manifesto in 1933, I talked about last week a little bit. After that, they started taking everything about Jesus and God and Christianity out of our history, which means they had to demonize our leaders because they were all Christians. They tried to even teach men in school they're deists. That's a lie. Read their writings. They were dedicated Christians. George Washington, age of 20, was the ambassador from Virginia to the French general, Saint-Pierre, who was threatening war against the colonies. At age 21, he led 400 Virginia troops against Fort Duquesne and confronted a French regiment of 1,200 men. He was the leader at 21 years old. He fought valiantly, but his force but was forced to negotiate surrender because he was so badly outnumbered. He went home to a hero's welcome at age 21. Google this and look it up. Don't believe the garbage you hear. And some of the truth I gave you, they'll try to make you doubt the truth. But a lot of this is history. Yeah, this is history. His mother asked him not to re-enlist, as most mothers probably would. I mean, he's out there. I mean, he was doing things impossible, 400 against 1,200. She said, don't do it. Give it up. His mother asked him not to re-enlist. This is history. Google it. Read it for yourself. Look it up. His mother asked him not to re-enlist because of the dangers of war. He replied, this is what he believed. He wasn't a deist. Listen. He replied, the God to whom you commended me, madam, when I set out upon a more perilous errand, they talk kind of funny. He said, God defended me from all harm, and I trust he will do so now. His faith is in God. He said, asked his mother, said, do you not believe? Do you not believe that God will protect me? So he re-enlisted. His faith was in God, just like little David. You see, they make a big deal out of slaves were brought into the colonies under British rule, not the United States. I mean, slavery is horrible, but it's accepted by the whole world up until the Civil War. Basically, the United States is the one that knocked out slavery with that war. All over the world. But yet, we're condemned because people in this country under British rule had slaves. But as soon as we became a country, they began to make plans to get rid of slavery, and they did at a high cost of about 1 million American deaths. There's a high price to be paid for sin. And after the United States of America got rid of slavery, that's when it became the greatest, most powerful nation in the world. But these people want to dig that up and condemn America over something that happened 150 years ago or more. Their goal is to destroy this country and destroy Christians. They hate us because they want to live any way they want to live. And when they hear a sermon like this, it makes them mad enough to kill people like Charlie Kirk. At age 23, Colonel Washington served under the, listen to this, this used to be in the history books, but it was taken out. At 23, Colonel, what was you doing at 23? At age 23, Colonel Washington served under the famous British General Edward Braddock. They led approximately 2,000 troops, all British except for about 100 Virginia troops, against Fort Duquesne. And that's Pittsburgh. That's Pittsburgh today. They faced a force of 72 French regulars, 146 Canadian militiamen, and 637 Indians, a total of 855. 2,000 going against 855. So this time the odds are reversed because Washington is with the British. Stories like this were removed, as I just said, from textbooks after 1934. The time I came along, they were already poisoning us against this country. Their goal has been to secularize America. They want to get rid of anything Christian. Therefore, they got to get rid of our Christian founders by demonizing, well, they, some of them own slaves. Well, those same people abort babies, kill babies, and cut body parts off of little girls. And they preach and spew hate, and yet they have the nerve to attack our founding fathers, and they're more wicked than our founding fathers ever thought about being. Most of them are dedicated Christians. The only sin you can dig up on most of them is that some of them did own slaves. But there was a lot of free blacks that also owned slaves. Amen. And don't think I'm trying to defend slavery. It's horrible. But at the same time, if God hadn't taken that, redeemed it, and brought good out of it, I wouldn't have some of my best friends. Why can't we look at what God has done instead of focusing on what was evil way back then? Some of my very best friends sitting here in this room right now, probably their ancestors were slaves. That's a horrible thing. But God redeemed it. Now I got some of my best friends. Wow. We need to celebrate the good and ignore these lunatics. The goal has been to secularize America and get rid of everything Christian. They even tack monuments to soldiers that have a cross on it. They want that cross off. I mean, how stupid can you be? I got to get rid of that cross. I mean, are they really that afraid of God? If they're that afraid of God, they need to get saved. The British had never fought against Indians in the dark forest with all the thick undergrowth. And there's a whole lot of me that's Indian. I discovered that my great-great-great, somewhere in there, grandpa, was Martin Coverson. And I think I got the right Martin Coverson. He was Cherokee Indian. His mother was a Cherokee Indian. And so he was half Cherokee, my great-great-great-grandpa. And then on my mother's side, I think his mother was a full-blooded, her father's mother's a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. So I don't have enough Indian to claim to be an Indian, but I wished I did. Can you say amen? I'd love to be called an Indian. Thank you, Gee. I wouldn't be insulted. I'd love it. But anyway, this is the most amazing story. The British had never fought against Indians in the dark forest with all the thick underbrush. Washington, this young 23-year-old kid, tried to give him advice. You can't fight the Indians the way you do. They all marched in line straight into the woods and the forest, and the Indians were in the tree, and they started killing them, just picking them off one at a time. They killed 717 of their men, and 63 officers out of 86 were killed or wounded. Every mounted officer, including General Braddock, was killed except for George Washington. He told his mother, "God will protect me," and he did. And his job was to ride a horse in between the commands, delivering orders. And he was the number one guy they were shooting at, and they never could kill him. This used to be in our history books. But well, they got to get rid of that because they don't want you to believe in Jesus Christ in the Word of God. They don't want you to believe this nation was founded as a Christian nation. But it was. And one of the greatest proofs is that it was illegal to have business opens on Sunday. Why do you think that was? It wasn't a Christian nation. They shut down all the business so people could go to church. I would take that as a sign this is a Christian nation. But the secular humanists have worked until now. We have to work on Sunday and have a hard time going to church. And it's wonderful Christians sit back and let them do it. I think it's time we took our country back. Every mounted officer, including General Braddock, was killed except for George Washington. The French and Indians only had 3 officers and 30 men killed because the British didn't know what they were doing. George wrote to his mother, luckily, I escaped without a wound. Listen, though I had 4 bullets, and this is history, though I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot under me, I was the only person left to distribute the general's orders. And then they killed the general. During the battle, he was constantly exposed as he was delivering those orders, riding his horse right in front of gunfire. I mean, it took a lot of nerve to do that to start with. 15 years later, here's the story. 15 years later, an old Indian chief who was in the battle came to meet Washington. The chief told Washington, and I'm sure somebody would try to cast doubt on this like it never happened or something, but that's what they're good at, is lying. The chief told Washington, "Our rifles were leveled, rifles which, but for you, knew not how to miss. 'Twas all in vain. 'Twas all in vain. A power mightier far than we shielded you. The Great Spirit protected this man," pointing to Washington as he talked to someone else, "and guides his destiny. He will become chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. Today, as he predicted, America is by far the most powerful nation on earth." Amen. And we need to know the truth about George Washington. Yes, he owned slaves, but he was a dedicated Christian that became convicted that slavery was wrong and set his slaves free. Why don't we say that? George Washington later said, "True religion," they talk kind of funny, but that's a long time ago. But what he means is true Christianity affords to government its surest support. George Washington was a man of faith. Secular humanists had to remove these stories from our history because they prove America was built by men who had faith in God, and they don't want you to believe that. America's whole history has been one miracle after another. They won't remove the truth about Christianity is what they're after. George Washington and his Continental Army were trapped while defending Brooklyn. Have you ever heard of Brooklyn? Their only route of escape was across the East River to Manhattan. The British had commanded their ships to sail to the East River to prevent the soldiers of the Continental Army from crossing. They were trapped and had the river between them and safety. They could not get across that river. However, they could not, the British could not sail their ships because the wind stopped. God shut their wind off. And they couldn't go. However, they could not because there were not enough wind for their ships to sail. During the dark of the night, George Washington ordered everyone with a boat to rescue his men. Throughout the night, boats had made trip after trip rescuing his men. At daylight, they still had many to rescue, but a providential thick fog covered the area, so the men could only see about 6 feet in front of them. The British could not see what George Washington was doing, and by the time the fog lifted, all the soldiers had been safely evacuated. Washington only had 9,000 men left. If the British had killed or captured these men, historians agree the Revolutionary War would have ended and there would today be no United States of America. God saved this country with a fog. America's not a Christian nation. It's not now, thanks to these heathens. But it started out as a Christian nation. And I'm determined to do everything I can to make Christianity the number one thing in America because Jesus Christ is all there is. Amen. I'm out of time, but I normally am. George Washington, now they try to, what these founding fathers said, they try to make out like they didn't say it. Devil, get out of here. Get out. In the name of, are y'all praying? Okay, George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation, October the 3rd, 1789. Here's what he says. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Now, is he recognizing God? Yes. To obey his will. Does that sound like a Christian? This is the Thanksgiving Proclamation. Do we still celebrate Thanksgiving? It's because of George. To obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humble to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, all these men were Christians, or at least claimed to be, and whereas both houses of Congress, the House and the Senate, have by their joint committees requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful heart the many signal favors of Almighty God. Let's all stand.